Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are up to the second psalm now. We're going to be working through the psalms that the Lord has given us, and we'll see where he takes us. I suspect he's going to take us in many, many places, beginning with the second psalm. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read the psalm in its entirety for this episode. A lot of the psalms are very long. We won't be able to do that, but it's helpful to read an entire psalm before you start going, okay, I think verse 3 means this, I think verse 4 means that. Read the entire psalm. Read it several times as you're going along. And then go back and start, you know, considering things, meditating upon things. You'll actually see that there's structure within them. And the structure often will help give us insight into what the message is and what God's really saying to us. So here's Psalm 2. I think it's, what, 12 verses long? Let me check here. Yeah, 12 verses long. Verse 1 says this: Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? So just a little statement right here, a little parenthetical thing. There's a question. It starts with a question. It's saying, hey, why are the nations raging? Well, what does rage mean? It literally means this idea that they're assembling themselves, noisily, that they're assembling themselves to a purpose and to a point, and they're making a big spectacle of this. Why are they doing this? And why are the people plotting in vain? So the question itself gives us insight into what the outcome is going to be. It's in vain. Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. So we see a little bit about what's happening even without reading the whole psalm. The nations are raging, and the question is being asked, why? Why are the kings of the earth doing this? Why are they taking counsel? And they're going against the Lord. And here's what they are saying, and they're going against the Lord. Verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So we've got the basic idea of what the psalm's about, what's being said here. But folks, there's a lot more than may meet the eye. And this is not just stuff that I'm making up. What we're going to see as we go back, and we'll do this over the next couple episodes, as we go back to the psalm, you're going to see that this psalm is quoted in other portions of the Bible. And you're going to see that those portions that quote it actually give us insight into what God was saying, what God was referencing. And some of that insight might not be immediately obvious. Now, we also have to be careful to come back. Like when I'm reading right now, you can't see this, but there's various capitalizations that are used in the writing here. Well, that communicates something. Remember, capitalizations and stuff like that really is a form of commentary. It's a form of commentary. But you're going to see that several places in the scripture quote this. And there are things that are already sort of tweaked your ear. That whole thing, you are my son, today I have begotten you. You're thinking, wait a minute, I've heard something like that before. Yeah, we'll see there's some things like that before. The whole thing of the nations being a heritage, about somebody ruling with a rod of iron. And what is this about kissing the sun? S-O-N. In the, what am I reading from? The ESV right now that I'm reading from is the capital S-O-N. So David wrote this psalm. Is he speaking of himself? Is he speaking of some son yet to come? Is the Lord revealing something to him? So let me just back up here and read through these first few verses here, and then we'll examine this over the next couple episodes. So he's asking a question. Why are the nations raging like this? Why are they acting like this? Why are they plotting? Why are the kings of the earth setting themselves up and counseling with one another? The rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Against his anointed. Well, who is the Lord's anointed? And, you know, immediately we, from our perspective, we go, oh, Jesus is the Lord's anointed. Well, that's true, that's true. But as David was writing this, what is he thinking about? Well, we're going to see some stuff. In Psalm 18:50, it says this, great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. So David is called the anointed, the offspring of the Lord. Let me see. Psalm 26 says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed and will answer him from a holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. So David was speaking of himself as being the anointed. And he was. Here in verse 2, when it's written down, is capitalized. So they're interpreting it, yes, of speaking of Messiah, but don't think it's just exclusively that. Okay? So here's what the kings of the earth are doing. They're speaking against the Lord, and they're speaking against his anointed, particularly David at that time, and of the Lord Jesus when he came and when he comes again. And here's what they're saying. Verse 3 is the quote of the kings. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. So the kings are saying, hey, we don't want anything to do with the Lord. We don't want anything to do with his anointed and those anointed of him. We definitely don't want anything to do with his son. They would have considered David to be the son of God. Then also Jesus, the son of God, is the ultimate fulfillment of this. And they're saying, hey, we don't want anything to do with it. We're going to break the bonds. We're going to cast their cords off of us. What's the response of the Lord to this? Well, verse 4 starts his response, and he says this. I'm sort of chuckling. He who sits in the heavens, who sits in the heavens? The Most High God, Father. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Okay? He derides them. He scoffs at them. They think that they're all powerful. They think that as kings of the earth, that they're going to be able to burst the bonds of the Most High God. They think they're going to be able to cast any kind of cord that the Lord might put upon them to bind them in some way. And the Lord just sits there in heaven and laughs. And this is a laugh where he's scoffing at them. He's deriding them. He's holding them in derision. And the amazing thing to me is that he's doing this without sin. Now, and, you know, we scoff, we deride, we hold people in derision, but it's usually not without sin. Even when I try to do it without sin, I find myself enjoying it a little too much. So it's probably not the best attitude. The Lord does it without any sin. The Lord laughs at it because he knows that it's not going to happen. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, my time's up. We'll continue on Psalm 2 in the next episode. I'll see y'all then.